Thank you, Sue. Those in junior worship may leave. If you have your Bibles, turn with me over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're going to be looking at verses 7 through 12 this morning. As we think about our Father's Day, and being Father's Day, I want to think about God's man. Of course, today is Father's Day, and it's the day that's been set aside to honor our fathers and give them a special honor. And I hope that you honor your father every day of the week, but more so in a day that we can just really give them a special time of honor. And there's all kinds of different men, a lot of different men in this world. You can be a professional man, and you can be a lazy man, or you can be a woman's man, or you can be a married man, you can be a money man, or you can be a poor man. You can be almost any kind of man you want to be. But I suggest that if you want to be a God's man, that you will be a real man. Even though a lot of people think following Jesus Christ is something that is not very masculine, I'm convinced that it takes a real man to follow Jesus Christ. If you consider yourself a real man, then I hope you are God's man this morning. Can you remember when men were men and women were women and you could tell the difference? And can you remember when men did the wrestling and the boxing and they bragged about how much they could bench press, and women wore makeup and earrings and everybody liked it that way? A fellow saw a couple walking down the street, and first he didn't know who was who because he was following from the back, and he just couldn't tell, because when he got in front, he found out the man had the longer hair and wore the earrings and she didn't. But that's kind of the way it is today, isn't it? Can you remember when men initiated the relationship and made a lifelong commitment and created an atmosphere of stability and security? And I'm not talking about, Rambo-type men coming in and demanding all this kind of honor and respect out of authority and fear. And I'm not talking about the Archie Bunker type who sits in the chair and roars out all kinds of insults and everything and intimidates his wife. I'm talking about a real man, God's man, the kind of man who is not ashamed of his masculinity and is willing to be God's man, whatever the situation might be. Read with me from our text there this morning from 1 Thessalonians 2. Starting with verse number 7. We were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become so dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preach to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believed. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Now, this passage doesn't really deal with family as fathers and mothers as such, but it's about Paul and how he dealt with the Christians there at Thessalonica. In verse 7, he says, we were gentle among you like a mother caring for her little children. And then in verse 11, he says, for you know we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children. Paul's ministry to the church there at Thessalonica was very much like a mother and father to them. We are brothers and sisters together in Christ. Our relationship within the family of God is very similar to the relationship that we should have in our homes. And with that in mind, from our text, I want us to see five characteristics that should be evident in God's man. First of all, in verse 8, Paul says that God's man is loving. And I read these verses now from the NIV where Paul says, "We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our lives as well." A real man, God's man, is not afraid to be tender and loving. Dad, do you remember the first time you held your first child? Now, I know for some of you that when your children were born, that fathers were not allowed, or they were considered unclean and were not allowed to even get close to your child till you got them home. But do you remember how nervous the women folk were when you took your baby in your arm for the first time? You know, support the head, hold the body just right. You know, do everything just so that you take care of this little baby. And the women folk were there just on edge until they saw, oh, he can do it. You know, it was rare back then, though, for a man to be seen as loving and caring and a cuddling parent. A preacher in Dallas went to the hospital to visit a little boy who was seriously ill. And when he walked in, there was in his room was his mom and dad also. And he said, "We talked for a while. They had just received some news that was not encouraging, and they were deeply concerned about their little boy. You see, he had a tumor removed from his brain 2 days before, and they had just been told that the tumor was malignant. Long periods of treatment loomed before them, and no one was sure what the end would be. So it was a very difficult time for them. But as we stood there together and talked and cried and prayed together, I think the most beautiful thing I'd seen in a long time just kind of unfolded. The little boy, partially sedated, would open his eyes on occasion and whimper a little bit, and Dad would reach over and stroke his hand and touch him and speak gentle words, and he would go back to sleep. And as the preacher got ready to leave, the boy's father said, "You know, the hardest part of this has been the other three children at home. Someone else has to take care of them most of the time. We are so torn. We need to be here with Dane, but we feel like we are neglecting the other three." He said, "I went home the other night to shower and change the clothes and come back to the hospital, and the other three were crying, 'Dad, don't leave. Stay here with us.' I had to take each one of them and reassure them that we would all be together again soon as a family." You know, that's something that's really special, to see a dad who cares that much about his children. It seems this is what Paul is talking about, that these bonds that they were experiencing can be between a father and his children. Well, secondly, God's man is transparent. The last part of verse 8, Paul says, "We share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you have become so dear to us." Fathers, it's so important for us to communicate love to our children, the love of God, not just our own private love, our own personal love, but that we communicate to them the love of God and show them. You know, it's one thing to tell your children that you love them, but it's another thing that you live that love out. And the one place where we're real is at home. You know, as a person, you can be one person out at work. You can be another person here at church. And you can be another person just out in society. But when you go home, take off your necktie and you know, take your suit coat off and what have you. Take off your work clothes and you're there at home. You are real. And your children see you as you are inside. You become transparent in whatever you do and whatever you're not doing. And I wonder, what do your kids see when Dad becomes whoever he is inside? What do your children see? After a funeral of an elderly man, a couple of his friends from church were sitting around a kitchen table and they were visiting with his four grown children. And one of the men asked, "What do you remember most about your dad?" And all four of them began to tell their memories. And their memory of their mom and dad kneeling beside the bed was the number one memory of every one of them. One of the men said, "Do you realize how special that is? There are so many children who never ever see their parents kneel and pray together." What they saw in their father, and when they looked inside of him, was a man who was not only talking about God, but a man who was walking with God. They saw a man who left a legacy for his children to pick up on and to make it a part of their own life and to pass it on to their own children. Transparency means our children can see not only the good things, but they also see some of the bad things that happen within our lives. And it's important for them to see them all, because all of these things are things that they are learning from how they're going to experience life. A man who is transparent to his family is a man who allows them to see him laugh when he's happy and cry when he's sad. You know, it's not unmasculine to do that. Our children should see us deal with stress and anxiety in life, because the world is filled with stress and anxiety. Our children should see us agonize over the decisions that we have to make, because they too will have to make decisions one day in their life. Dad, they need to see how you treat your wife, their mother, because one day, hopefully, they too will be married and will need to know how to treat their own spouse in life. They need to see how to handle failures. They need to see how to handle finances. They need to see how you handle all things in life. They need to see you transparent before them. A real man is God's man and is transparent. God's man is a hard-working man. In verse 9, Paul says, "Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone." My dad passed away June 17th, 1981. And the year he passed away, it was on Saturday, right before Father's Day, that we had his funeral. The next year, I had to preach on the anniversary of my dad's death. That was not easy. And it's never been easy, because my dad died on Father's Day. But he lived, if he was alive today, he'd be 105. He lived to be 72. And all he ever did was farm. He was never a big farmer. He just scratched out a living there on the hills and the rocks and the fields there in the southern Pendleton and northern Harrison County. And Dad didn't make much money, but there was always food on the table and there was always clothing on our backs. And the farmhouse that we lived in really wasn't much. We never had any running water indoors until I was in high school. And a lot of us kids at school just did not understand that. Why don't you have running water? We have running water. Well, you know, that was life. And we dealt with it. It was home to us. It was home. And one of my cherished memories of my father was that he did not have a lazy bone in his body. He was never afraid of hard work. One of the greatest blessings I had in life was to be with my father every day. Now, if you'd asked me that back when I was 14 or 15 years old, I probably wouldn't have told you the same thing then. I didn't, you know, when I was back at that age, I just thought he was incredibly dumb. But by the time I became 21, 22 years old, boy, he had really gotten smart in those few years, quickly. But I was with my dad every day. And those days were great days in my life, and I look back and remember now. And he was responsible for me, for my brothers and sisters, for my mother, for everything that went on in our household. He was responsible to make sure it was the best possible for us. You know, those days seem to be passing away, though. Fathers have become more irresponsible every day as I look around. I see lazy fathers. I see fathers who do not love. I see fathers who do not care about their families. I see fathers who are more concerned about themselves than anybody else. And I thank God that I had a father who taught me, first of all, to love God. I had a father also that was a hard worker. And he left that legacy to me. Fourthly, we find God's man is authentic. Paul said there in verse 10, "You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believe." Paul's saying, you know, when we were with you, we were holy people. We were righteous. We taught you the truth. Our teaching, you could not find anything false about it. We were blameless in everything we did. And you can't point to anything and say that we did wrong. How many of us would be able to say that about the way we have raised and taught our children? Paul and those who were with him were holy and righteous and blameless. And these are words that he uses here that are spiritual attributes. Dad, do you realize that God has given you the responsibility to be the spiritual leader of your home? Sad to say, many fathers today have not fulfilled that responsibility. And many have turned that responsibility over to mom to take care of. But that doesn't change the Word of God. That doesn't change anything. God's Word teaches us that as men, we are the spiritual leaders of our home. And God expects us to fulfill it. Well, number five, God's man has positive influence in his home. Paul talks about how to treat the children as a father deals with them. In verse 12, he says, "Encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory." These are positive words. You know, he says, we encouraged you, we comfort you, we urge you to live lives worthy of God. And these are positive words. Is it possible, Dad, that we could accomplish a whole lot more by being positive than always being negative about things? Charlie Shedd said in his book, Letter to Peter, and he tells about times that he wrote his son a letter, and he made this promise. He said, "Peter, I will never say no to you if I can possibly say yes." And there are times that we must say no. But if possible at all, it is so much better to be positive rather than negative. As God's man, we need to be a positive influence in the home. Well, it's time for fathers to become real men, to become God's man, to become a man who is not ashamed to love his children, not ashamed to be genuine and transparent before them, to work hard, provide for them, to be authentic, to be holy, to be righteous before them, to be the spiritual leader of the home, to be the kind of positive influence that would lead them on to God and help them to become all that God wants them to be. An old illustration speaks of the Olympics of 1992 in Barcelona. And there on the track, Britain's Derek Redmond had dreamed all of his life of winning the gold medal in the 400 meter race. And the dream was in sight as the gun sounded. And as they made their way around the track, he was running the race of his life, and he could see the finish line as he turned and made that back stretch, and suddenly he felt this sharp pain in the back of his leg, and he fell to the ground head first into the track with a torn hamstring. Sports Illustrated recorded this dramatic event, and they said as the medical attendants were approaching, Redmond fought to his feet. It was animal instinct, he would say later. He set out hopping on one leg in a crazed attempt just to finish the race. When he reached the stretch, a large man in a t-shirt came out of the stands, hurled aside a security guard, and ran to Redmond, embracing him. It was Redmond's father. "You don't have to do this," he told his son. "Yes, I do," said Derek. "Well, then, we will do it together," said his father. And they did. And they made it across the finish line. Now, Derek didn't come in first. He didn't bring home that trophy that he'd hoped for. But listen, he walked home with a memory that he will never, ever forget. That his dad was right there with him. Dad, that's what God wants of us. To be with our children, to lift them up, to encourage them. In order to do that, you need to be a child of God yourself. Have you made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Have you given your life to Him in full submission? Have you been baptized for the forgiveness of sin? Are you living each and every day for Him, showing your children what they need to know? If not, there's no better time than today to make that decision, to give it all to Jesus Christ as we stand and as we sing.